Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to Ask OTC, the show where we answer all of your questions from the week in European football. I'm Dotson Adebayo.
I'm Ellie Brassel.
And I'm Nikki Bandini.
It's straight away from Arijit, who says a lot of spots in the FIFA Club World Cup are up for grabs based on the Champions League knockout results, but how do the clubs feel about participating in it? A needless distraction that shortens the summer break or an opportunity to pick up some quick revenues? And for those who don't know, what's going to happen this time around is that 12 European teams will qualify for the competition, with four teams qualifying by winning the Champions League and eight teams qualifying through the UEFA four-year ranking, which takes into account performance over the last 4 years. A maximum of two teams per country can qualify unless there are more than two Champions League winners from that country the last 4 years. So Andy first, a needless distraction that shortens the summer break or an opportunity to pick up on some quick revenues?
Well, it depends who you're asking, really, doesn't it? Because the former is probably the opinion of the players, and the latter is the opinion of the clubs. And I think we talked in the main OTC, Nikki touched in the main OTC, about how Aurelio De Laurentiis tried to incentivize Napoli's players for qualifying. Of course, they didn't, and Juventus have as instead, which is obviously good for them as a club, as an institution.
Because they're going to get Napoli's 50 million euros.
Yeah.
Oh.
Exactly. And this is something that could have a massive effect on football, especially when you look at some of these clubs that have hit really difficult financial times over recent years. And, you know, Juventus are one of those. Like, post Cristiano Ronaldo, they've found themselves in a few spots. There's no doubt about that. So this could really affect things going forward. Barcelona qualifying for the Club World Cup would be an absolute godsend for them. So that's a huge part of what they want to do for the rest of this season. And really, FIFA have been a bit sneaky here, expanding this, because obviously there's this enmity between them and UEFA to a degree. And they have basically tried to create their own Champions League.
Because they really struggled initially with the World Club World Cup because nobody was interested in Europe, really, yeah, were they?
But I think the financial thing is a huge part of it. And it's been put forward at the right time. Because, of course, when Juventus, up until quite recently, were very interested in the Super League idea, Barcelona and Real Madrid, with the feeling that they want to play catch-up with the Premier League, this is all very important to them as well. So, on the other hand, Nicky, I think the way that the players are seemingly talking more about it, we hear very little of players talking about their commitments, their time commitments. But I think you've heard, particularly actually Griezmann and Mbappe, I think are the two notable ones over the last couple of months. For players like that who are committed to playing all the time, and we talked on the main OTC about Griezmann and the amount he puts in, for him to say, God, this is a bit much, isn't it?
I just want to push back a bit on nobody cares about the World Club Cup, because I think that is quite an Anglo-centric view. I think that English clubs and English football fans certainly have tended to be dismissive of the World Club Cup. But thinking back, and of course it's a while ago, but thinking back to when Berlusconi's Milan were ruling the roost in Europe, he absolutely cared about the Club World Cup, made a huge deal out of it every time they won three of them. And every single time he treated it as being as big a deal as winning the Champions League, the European Cup. So I think that, I suppose, a common thread we've come back to at different times in the studio is these things are often as important as you say they are. If you say they're important, you tell yourselves they're important, you tell your fans they're important.
Yeah.
They feel important. But I do think that... I'm not saying that it's been treated as weighty as the Champions League by everyone, but I do think that outside of England, clubs have taken that as more of a thing worth winning and celebrating than perhaps English clubs have.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Mm-hmm. And I think of like Porto winning against Once Caldas back in 2004. That was absolutely massive for them as well. But yeah, I think it does feel like a financial imperative for the clubs. But
has changed the conversation. The money has changed the conversation.
Oh, of course it has.
And it's just totally inevitable. And it's the boring part of football. But it's true that the money will always change the conversation.
But at the same time, is this the tournament that makes the players kick back against those demands?
I think, well, what you said from Mbappe is pretty well put. And I think that conversation's coming with or without this tournament. I think that players are getting closer and closer to breaking point, and no amount of shouting at them that, oh, you're well paid, you should just work harder, will actually change their bodies and stop them from breaking down. But I think that what it will do is, if the players start saying, okay, well, this is important, we want to win it. And I think there's something else maybe that's a little bit cultural underpinning this. And I think this is into really sort of hard to define murky areas, but the Saudi Pro League and the money that got thrown around in the last year or so, I don't think that has created some immediate fundamental shift clearly in everyone's attention to, oh, let's watch the Saudi Pro League, because actually all the data on the viewing figures and stuff has suggested that's not achieving the big market audience that it was once suggested for it. But I do think it's perhaps a seed in a greater conversation about, does Europe get to own everything in football when there is actually money outside of Europe?
Yeah.
And again, the Champions League has been the biggest because it's the richest. And so players come from all over the world to come play in the Champions League. Where the money comes from and all of those conversations are where we start talking about a much, much bigger conversation. But if the money isn't just coming from Europe, then the football will not just belong to Europe, because football is played everywhere, and in the end, the reason the Champions League has been the biggest is because it's the richest.
So, Arijit, in answer to your question, is it seen by the clubs as a needless distraction or an opportunity to pick up some quick revenues? I think the answer is, show us the money! This from Neil. Who is a good match for Lazio to replace Maurizio Sarri, Nicky?
I mean,
who, by the way, resigned this week, obviously. Or
I didn't resign. Right, so sorry.
Don't go now.
Wait it for a moment. Yeah, you'll know. I'll make it dramatic. I think with Lazio, I feel a bit like with Napoli, who's the right match for them, whoever will take them, because it's another club where you're looking at it and going, would you want to be the manager there? Because Maurizio Sarri walked away from this job. Yes, it feels like the magic has gone and the energy has come out of that club and results have been poor recently. I think it's only one win in the last six, I think. And you could certainly criticise some things he's done. But the reality is he's been, as he always is, because if there's one thing in good and bad that Maurizio Sarri will always be, he'll be plain spoken. He's been very plain spoken about the fact that he's not happy with ownership. He's not happy about how the transfer market's been conducted. He's not happy with the players he's got and the lack of a project. And perhaps it hasn't been quite as sort of noticeably all over the place as things have at Napoli with De Laurentiis recently. But Claudio Lotito is another of these very, I'm trying to think what the diplomatic way is to put it, this very possessive, controlling and involved president who makes life for their managers quite difficult sometimes. And I think Simone Inzaghi, before he went to Inter, did an extraordinary job of managing to navigate that relationship and get what he needed from it and make the team competitive. And Maurizio Sarri did take that squad to second last season. They did very, very well. I think it was a huge overachievement last season to finish second. But then Milinkovic-Savic leaves the club. The attempts to replace him are not serious, deeply unserious attempt to replace a player of that caliber. And yeah, meanwhile, the Tito will tell you how good you have it and how grateful you should feel for having it so good. So it's going to take a manager of strong character to walk in there and handle that, especially because they're not going to be in the Champions League next season unless something extraordinary happens in this remaining part of the season. They're ninth right now.
I suppose if we're talking about it from a Roman perspective, what do you think it is that they would need to do to create that feeling that's at Roma? Because like with Roma, there are holes in the team, there are holes in the playing squad, but the feeling around the club is totally different. And even when Mourinho, who was enduringly pretty popular, got biffed, they found a way to replace him and keep the flame alive. I mean, I'm disregarding what De Rossi has done to the team, although it's been pretty good so far.
Yeah.
But in terms of just De Rossi is maybe that one person who could actually keep the spirits up and keep the atmosphere akin to what it was.
I was having this conversation with someone just yesterday and the name that came out was maybe a Sandro Nessa, looking for like a club legend who's got that connection to the fans, who'd walk in and you'd go, all right, we'll put up with this and we'll feel good and you'll feel good. Sarri was very popular at Lazio. Mm. Maybe it wasn't the same sort of visibly emotional connection that Roma had with Mourinho, but Sarri was, in the same way as Mourinho, actually one of those managers who the fans looked to him and he looked back and they said, we see each other. Like he had that same underdog mentality. They like the hard worker who used to work in a bank and isn't in any way beholden to the hated aspects of modern football. He's very much his own man, very much gonna follow his own path. That stuff speaks 100% to the Lazio fan base, in good and ugly, by the way, because I think they're some of the uglier elements of the Lazio fan base who get plenty of attention because of how they behave. Will cite that sort of, we're just being independent to the system and we don't listen to what the authorities say while saying abhorrent things. That justification is used. But I do think that not just that elements of the Lazio fan base, I think the Lazio fan base in general connected with Sarri and Tini, was popular. And I think there's a feeling that, yes, the club's not doing well right now. It's time to go. But I think it will be hard to find someone who's as popular as that. Also, the other thing with Sarri that has to be said, if you want to be popular in Rome, win your derbies. And he won a lot of derbies.
He always treated it like it was a massive deal, didn't he, as well?
This question from Alex, not unconnected, still sticking with this sort of coaching. Will sacking Rafa Benitez help improve Celta Vigo? He's only won 5 of his 28 league matches there.
It's been a slog. And I think this is what it all comes down to, because they had in mind at the start of the season a project. And you look at them getting in a coach of name who they were delighted to receive, and they will argue, or Carlos Mourinho, their long-serving president who's in his 80s now, will argue that, okay, well, we went out and got you like Jonathan Bamba, for example. We, you know, you've had other players, like, you know, you've got a decent squad in that you've got Jürgen Strand Larsen, you've still got Iago Aspas, they're invested in Svedberg, players like that. Whether that means that they're quite ready to succeed now is a different question. Having said that, I think Celta are right to expect a little bit more, because I think if you look at La Liga this season, there are some really dreadful teams at the bottom of it, really dreadful teams at the bottom of it. If this was a normal season, Celta would be like nailed on almost to go down this season. That they would be in, I think they'll survive, but it's less due to their qualities or the qualities of the team so far this season, and more to do with the fact that, you know, there's a little mattress for them at the bottom. Now, I do have sympathy with Benitez to an extent, because we talked about Iago Aspas. You cannot put into words what an iconic player he has been for them and what an important player he has been for them over the two spells that he's been at the club, and particularly since his return to it. And now he's getting old. They can't lean on him as much. And it's a problem. You know, they need someone else to hoke them out of the mire when they're in it. And, you know, I think if you look at where they are, and, you know, that they've hoped to sort of build up a sort of project of some sort of substance. I think Gabri Veiga, who was the player who could have replaced Iago Aspas, he was just too good to keep. It looked like he would go to a bigger European club, and he ended up going to Saudi Arabia, took the Milinkovic-Savic route. But the thing is, it's not that there wasn't a serious attempt to replace him, it's just you can't replace him. So I have sympathy with all of that. But, you know, the fact is, I think you listen to people who cover Celta, you listen to the fans, and they're like, they've tried to give, they didn't want to sack Benitez. They wanted to give him the opportunity to develop this team. But the returns were just too bad. You know, you've got people who cover the team saying, you know, this is the worst Celta team in decades. They haven't got the perfect squad, but they've got a better squad than to be where they are. And so they've brought in Claudio Giraldes, who was in charge of the B team, who's super popular, by the way, with the fans. And I think this is the most sensible move for the moment.
I wonder if, since the question was asked before, Rafa Benitez at Lazio? He's been in Italy before. He's dealt with De Laurentiis before. I mean, I'm just putting a name out there, but it feels like maybe the right sort of profile of a kind of big name who's fallen enough that he would consider that sort of job, and who has shown he can navigate owners.
I don't know if that was a Freudian slip, but what about him going back to Napoli?
I wouldn't completely exclude it. I mean, for Napoli, I'd say Calzona has an opportunity now to finish the season strongly and hold the job down, because there's been some good signs. But just a thought. It's just come out of my head. There's no basis for it other than that.
He's a Champions League winner. Yeah. There is a basis for it, obviously.
Yeah.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Staying in Iberia, this from George: will Victor Gyökeres leave Sporting this summer, and what are his chances of moving to the Prem? Pretty good, I would have thought, having scored 33 goals in 37 games in all competitions this season. And I understand that Chelsea were interested as well.
Yeah, they were in January, and they were already looking at paying, they're offering to pay, what, four times what Sporting paid to get him from Coventry. I think that is the thing. I think in any previous year of the Premier League, you would think, well, the fact that he doesn't go to a Premier League club from Coventry, that he goes abroad, and then someone ends up buying him back for four or five times the price. The idea of value is very much notional to Premier League clubs in recent years. But now, with profit and sustainability, it matters. Mm. You know, I think there will be a few who look at that and think, yeah, we could have taken a chance there. And particularly, you know, a few people have said to me, well, why didn't a team, particularly in the bottom half, have a go for him? Well, of course there was interest, but Sporting made it very clear that they wanted to go the whole way for them. And they committed what for them was a record amount of money. You know, they are not just a Portuguese club. They are a Portuguese club that doesn't have as much money as Porto and Benfica. So for them to go out and invest 20 million in him wasn't a punt because they did their research, but it was a massive commitment for them to go and do that. They couldn't have dreamt that he would possibly be as good as he has, because you talked about the goals, which is quite right. Ton of assists as well. We talked about him in the main show. Did we talk about him in the main show?
Yeah, we did. Well, not this week, but a few weeks back.
Yeah. We talked about him, between us at least, Don, being the one player who gave Pepe of Porto an absolute nightmare this season. He took him to the cleaners and back when Sporting played Porto in December. And the fact that he's physical, so he won't be bullied by Pepe. He's fast. If he can't create a shooting opportunity for himself, he can damn sure create one for someone else in the team. There's so much to his game. He's incredibly versatile centre forward. So he's quick as well. So he's got everything really that you would need to succeed in the Premier League. He's proven he can do it at a good standard at the top of the table for what is the best team in Portugal. And he's proven that he can do it in Europe as well. I think it's inevitable that he ends up in the Premier League. I suppose the question is, Sporting are in a position of strength because he's got a 100 million euro buyout clause and they don't have to sell him for less than that, of course. What club can really do that this summer? Like, maybe not. Maybe there's a bit of PSR relief when it comes to the summer. But I think this is a difficult summer to sell him, if indeed that's their aim, which I don't really think it is. Ideally, they would like to keep him a little bit more. But, you know, it's that question about, you know, if you're holding onto the balloon, how high do you keep going? When's the right moment to let go? Because if they go into the Champions League and maybe he has a difficult second season, then maybe the value drops. I still think they're going to make a massive profit off him either way, as well as getting good service out of him. And funnily enough, Nicky, I know that Arsenal are in the market for a centre forward. This summer, it felt like the missing thing in the Champions League this week. Where's that guy that's really going to take Pepe on? I mean, obviously, Arsenal have goals from all over the pitch, but for something different in that situation, well, a Gyökeres would have won them that game.
And you can't say Harry Kane, by the way.
Yeah, and it's it's the obvious place, isn't it? When you're talking about these sums, the Premier League is the obvious place, and perhaps Premier League teams that have extra Champions League money coming in that also could get World Club Cup money coming in, those are the places where you think, well, actually, there's a way to make these deals happen. I was just thinking about that holding on to the balloon too long thing and thinking how it's...
Good image.
Yeah, but also how it can seem such an awful choice to say goodbye to a player like that and to make that decision. And then you look at the times when it doesn't happen, and even as painful as it would have been, would Napoli have been better off to sell Osimhen last summer? Is his market gone up this season? I'm not sure it's gone up this season. He's been injured a lot. He still looked good when he's been playing, but are they actually going to get that release clause they've put into the new contract?
And Premier League clubs were definitely more able to buy him last summer than maybe this summer if De Laurentiis hadn't have asked for that amount of money.
Yeah, so it's a dangerous game to hold on
it's
too
poker.
Long.
It's poker. This is a biggie. I'm sure you both want to comment on this. From Josh, considering Zinedine Zidane's record, why isn't he really in the conversation for big managerial vacancies currently?
I would hazard, and push back on me, Andy, if you think I'm wrong on this, but I would hazard if he's ever not in conversations, it's because people would have sounded him out and he would have given them a quick indication he's not interested. Yeah,
yeah, I agree.
And certainly in Turin, there is an expectation that sooner or later he will have his time at Juventus. And whether that's sooner, who knows? At the moment, the club is making all the noises that they're happy with Max Allegri, despite not being able to sustain their title challenge. But that's a job which you look at and think, well, he played there, he's got connections, it makes sense. So there is a potential big job that certainly people around that club think it'll happen eventually. But my sense is, other than that, he's probably just saying no.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of clubs that would have liked to take him. Mm. There's no doubt about that. PSG were interested, and whether he thought that it wasn't the right time just because of the way in which they needed a sort of mini rebuild, or it wasn't right for him because, well, for example, he opened a sports centre in Marseille, where he's from, and he had little kids shouting at him, "Don't go to PSG!" Which, you know, you like to think he's the Iceman, but I'm sure that can't not have an effect on you. You know, and clearly Manchester United have had a degree of interest at some point as well. I think it's always a fine balance, isn't it, when you're a coach, about picking the right jobs absolutely makes your career. And, you know, you think of the clubs he turned down before he ended up taking on Real Madrid, almost not quite by accident, but almost it was sudden. It's like, right, we need you to take it now. And he ended up taking it full time. He didn't have time to think about it, really. He's part of the furniture. It's like, right, you're in charge of Castilla, you're next man up, come on, let's go. And they needed him there and then. That's how he got it the first time. It was a little bit emergency the second time as well. You know, the clubs that he's turned down, like PSG, like Bordeaux, before he originally took that, the Real Madrid job, a while before that, when it looked like he was nailed on to get that, talking about one of his former clubs. And it does feel that the chronology is really governing his coaching destiny at the moment as well. Like, he was ready for the France job. I think if the bottom had fallen out of France's 2022 Cup campaign, World Cup campaign, everyone thought that this was probably a likely full stop for Didier Deschamps anyway, he would have stepped in. But as it happened, despite a pile of injuries, despite a load of stuff playing against them, they did really well. And Deschamps ends up sticking with it. And Zidane's a bit like, okay, well, I thought that was going to be me. And now it's not me. Of course, if you stay out the game for too long, then it becomes impossible to get back. So I do wonder if he's being a little bit too choosy. But then again, he's happy being master of his own destiny. I think the problem is, when we are discussing Zinedine Zidane, and when we're discussing every aspect of him as a coach, because he's one of these rare coaches who doesn't like to sit down and talk about my philosophy and how clever I am, and this is how I did this, and this is my view on this, he just goes, well, it's the players, I just hand it over to them. Because he plays it all down, and because he doesn't talk about himself like most coaches, this narrative has been allowed to build in the vacuum that, oh, well, you know, he's just a shepherd of star players. He's just you know, posh Vicente Del Bosque. And obviously Del Bosque was a far better coach than people ever gave him credit for as well. I think the idea that all Zinedine Zidane can do is he's got no tactical ideas and he just wants to, you know, he's just capable of marshalling superstars. Well, if you don't think that marshalling superstars is a massive part of football coaching these days, I don't know where you're coming from. I would love to see him in a different context. I think it'd be fascinating.
I wonder if what you just said as well is the last thread as well as to why he's not talked about a lot on the rumour mill, because Zidane's just got that no-nonsense way of shutting down conversations that I feel like probably when people sort of try and, you can imagine him being as abrupt about that ideas when they get floated, when he's not interested.
I know this is old school, but I'll say it nevertheless. I'm a philosopher. I think very deeply. Thank you for listening to Ask OTC. If you'd like to ask a question, you can contact us at any time at Radio Dotton, at Andy Brassel, at Nikki Bandini, or at OTC Pod. And you can email us, otc@footballramble.com.
On the Continent is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.